Michael Neobanal, your trails are happy. Until we talk again later here on the radio, WRCO-FM in Richland Center. News This Hour is sponsored by the Phoenix Center. Family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. It's 40 degrees, and the time now is 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The market's open in right about an hour. Futures pointing to a higher open after Monday's big sell-off. The S&P and the Dow losing 2% of their value. The NASDAQ shaved off 4%. Investors remaining cautious about President Trump's tariffs and his refusal to rule out a possible recession. High-stakes talks between Ukraine and the U.S. are taking place in Saudi Arabia.
Ukraine will propose a mutual pause with Russia on long-range strikes from the air and sea. On the agenda also, the Trump administration's freeze of U.S. military aid and intelligence sharing that is already dangerously hurting Ukraine's ability to defend itself.
ABC's Patrick Rievel at the Foreign Desk. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the Trump administration has finished its six-week purge of USAID, cutting 83% of the staff. House Republicans will vote today on their spending bill continuing resolution that would fund the government at current levels through the end of September. This is ABC News. Former Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte has been arrested in connection with an international criminal court case alleging crimes against humanity were committed during his anti-drug crackdowns. 5 years ago today, the COVID-19 outbreak was officially declared a pandemic. ABC's Michelle Franzen has more.
The moment 5 years ago changed the world forever, the head of the World Health Organization declaring COVID-19 a global pandemic.
COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic.
The deadly virus spreading around the world, leading to lockdowns. Washington State recorded the first COVID case in the U.S., but New York City later became the epicenter. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
CDC says as of March 6, 1,222,603 Americans have died of COVID. Pope Francis receiving an improved prognosis. He's still in stable but no longer in guarded condition at the Rome Hospital where he's been for more than 3 weeks. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 11 Monday through Sunday with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center Pizza. Call ahead at 649-7469 for carryout from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
Your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is brought to you by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and find out how you can buy a house without needing 20% down.
A high in the upper 40s today with north winds at 10 to 20, then northeasterly around 10 miles per hour. Quiet and cool with scattered clouds tonight, a low of 26. Wednesday, nice sunshine, a high of 53. 31 Wednesday night, Thursday 63, by Friday 71, with showers and thunderstorms likely widespread over the afternoon and evening.
This is the story of the one. He's responsible for keeping a leading healthcare facility clean and safe. And he trusts Grainger's high-quality HVAC cleaning and safety products, combined with their world-class supply chain, to consistently deliver, ensuring he's covered inside and out, so he can focus on keeping his facility clean to help protect the health of everyone inside. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looking for a job that rocks? The House on the Rock Resort in Royal Spring Green is hiring. They have openings for front desk associates, hotel housekeeping, janitorial maintenance, and more. With flexible part-time schedules and five shifts a week options, there's something for everyone. Apply today. Call 608-935-3639, extension 1201, or print an application at thehouseontherock.com. Join the team and work at a place that truly rocks.
Napa Know-How.
Don't miss the annual filter and tool sale at Napa and Richland Center in Boscobel now through March 15th. Bring your filter list and save big on Napa Gold filters, the best price of the year. Hydraulic oil, grease, and many unadvertised specials are also on sale. Hurry in, filter tool sale ends March 15th at Napa Richland Center in Boscobel.
Hi, this is Teresa Clary with Clary Memorial Funeral Home. With today's rising inflation, now is the perfect time to pre-plan and pre-fund your funeral with coverage from Pekin Insurance through Clary Memorial Funeral Home. Your pre-funded policy, called Pathway, is guaranteed and can be used anywhere in the United States. Call today and protect against future inflation with a Pathway policy from Pekin Insurance. Contact Josh Clary at Clary Memorial Funeral Home for more information.
WRCO Studios, proudly sponsored by the Richland Family Restaurant. Fill up with something delicious.
Good morning from WRCO's Morning Show. It's a sure sign of spring when we start talking about the River Valley Area Community Gardens. And in the studio today with us, Rose Ellen Schneider, the president, Doug Rouse, the vice president, and Marlon Taft's director. They're here to talk about the upcoming season already. So happy spring, Rose Ellen. Good to have you.
Spring, Phil. Thanks for having us.
Oh, good to have you. You were here a year ago talking about the season. Was it a good one in 24?
It was a good one. Yeah. We've had some issues with weather. It was kind of wet and then dry, but yeah, it was overall, it was a good season.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
And you had a lot of people take part a year ago?
We had, I think it was 46 adult gardeners. That were gardening families, let's put it that way. And then there was 25 kids, and then we had 7 junior gardeners. So we had quite a range of people out there gardening and enjoying the nature and learning a lot. So, yeah, it was a good season.
All of those age groups kind of fit the goal of River Valley Area Community Gardens, right?
Yes, yeah. We want to make sure that people can get out and enjoy gardening. And, of course, while you're enjoying gardening, you're growing healthy food. And that's more important than anything. We were just talking last night at our board meeting that there's plastics in this food now, little tiny microplastics that it's kind of hard to get them out of the food because you really can't see them. So who knows what's going on? So, we try to get it out and get people to not use chemicals and to do more of the sustainability and the organic type of farming and grow their healthy food.
And you show that it can be done with your garden too, don't you?
Yeah. Some people learn pretty fast that they need to put compost on and they need to mulch and augment their soil. And if you don't do that, then you don't have the produce yield that you would like to have. So, yeah, it's a learning experience for people.
Absolutely. And even guys that have been gardening for a long time, you learn something just about every day, don't you, Doug?
Every day, it seems like it, yes, yes. It's tremendous fun to be able to, you know, walk the garden and talk to other gardeners and see plots and think, wow, how did you get that broccoli to grow so well? Because mine doesn't look that good.
Isn't that the way it goes, though?
It is. You know? Yeah, for sure. And so I think we all learn from each other. And we do emphasize, education. Of course, the Busy Bees program for the kids is clearly an educational program specifically for them. And then the junior gardeners all have the opportunity to have mentors to help them with any learning or questions they have. But then we also do some other educational activities for just the gardeners or more largely the community if they want to attend. So I think this year we've got, a couple of possibilities lined up for looking at, disease and pest problems. We always do a little introduction at the beginning of the season where for any new gardeners or old gardeners that want to review practices. So, are there some nice ways to plant carrots without having to thin them so much? How much should you hill your potatoes and that kind of thing, just general questions and different techniques. And that's always a lot of fun. It's a great program to be able to share with each other the way we do things.
Do you have problems like I do in Sextonville with little rodents and insects and then wild animals?
We do. We do. In fact, one of our biggest problems right now are the ground squirrels.
Oh.
They've really come in and especially things like carrots, they'll burrow and chew on the carrots under the ground. And so sometimes that can be a real problem because you don't see them at first. And then you dig some carrots and find out they've been chewed on.
Already have eaten.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So we're constantly looking at how to deal with them. But, we have, of course, the standard problems in potatoes. We have Colorado potato beetles. There is an organically approved spray we can use to control them. And we have lots of other pests. I'd say my other number one insect pest is the squash vine borers, because you don't see those, and they burrow into the base of the stem of squash plants, even zucchinis, but summer squash and other things. And then the plant starts to wilt, and you think, well, why is my plant wilting? And unless you know to go back and look, you don't realize that there's actually a grub or a larva at the base of the stem that's been chewing the inside of the stem out, so the plant can't get any water. So that's my one of the nemesis, is I guess I'd say.
And sometimes it's timing, right? When you plant, I know it really was last year, wasn't it?
Yes, definitely. Of course, with our wet weather early, we definitely had some problems with root rotting issues. And then, of course, it got dry. And so then you have problems with things like powdery mildew. That increases the challenge a little bit, for sure. In recent years, I've seen a bit more root rot early. I think our gardeners are very ambitious, so we get some gardeners who want to plant really early.
Uh-huh.
And for some crops, I think of green beans, which I really like. If you plant them early, they really don't like cool weather as much. But on top of that, if it's then wet, they're very susceptible to root rot. And so that can be a problem. And I've actually had that problem myself. So,
Well, let's bring Marlon into the conversation. They introduced you as kind of the jack of all trades with community gardens.
So to speak. But Doug and I were just out the other day looking at the gardens for this year and kind of planning how we're going to utilize space. We've always got new gardeners coming in, but if we don't, we convert those to use for the community food pantry plots. Along with that, we've got we allocate vegetables and produce to the memory care facility in Spring Green, as well as the food pantry. So our biggest thing we try and accomplish or try and do is make sure there isn't any waste. So people that don't want to maybe consume or have too much overproduction in their own plots, we've got a free kiosk as well too that we can supply food for, as well as, again, like I said, the food pantry and the memory care facility. So that's one of our biggest goals, is to make sure that food isn't wasted and there's an opportunity to put it somewhere that where people can utilize it.
Yeah, on the ground there in Spring Green, I would think that maybe it's a little sandy. It's kind of like Sextonville as well. What are some steps that you do to make sure that everything grows well?
Well, like I said, we use mulching techniques, some organic matter, be it manure of some kind. This year we're looking at getting a supply of alpaca manure as a source.
Really? So,
yes.
What's the difference there?
I'll have to let Doug answer that. Maybe, as far as
he's the alpaca manure expert, is he?
Well, we'll just say general manure.
Wow.
Another title for you.
Yes. I'll wear that as a badge of honor. and I can't say that I expect there's much difference between alpaca manure and horse manure. I'm counting on it being fairly similar. But it's well aged manure and so essentially well composted. And of course, when you add that, you're adding nutrients to the soil, some nitrogen and then phosphorus and potassium as well. And then the other thing is that it really helps the organic matter content of soil. And again, being sandy soils, the organic matter content naturally tends to be a little on the low side. And as you use more compost and then mulch and that gets worked into the soil, you increase that organic matter and that helps hold the nutrients in the soil and it also helps hold the moisture, as well as making the soil more pliable so that it's easier to work and plant into and so forth. So, we're big believers in adding organic matter, and again, the aged manure or composted manure is a great way to do that.
Plenty of water capabilities there too, right?
Right. We do have a water supply there that's supplied from the village that we're able to tap into at a cost, of course, but it's pretty minimal how we distribute it amongst all the gardeners and sharing the cost. So it's nice having that water there, especially in the sandy soil where it can take a lot of water as well, too, if we need it. Especially last year where we had some pretty dry conditions, and it really helped sustain everything a lot better.
Yeah.
I drove by there one night in the summer, and it was just a hubbub of activity. So, I mean, that's kind of your whole goal, isn't it?
It really is. People have different schedules and different times. So, you know, those of us that are retired can spend different times of the day during there, but maybe some people in the evenings. Families might come out on the weekends as well, too, and make it kind of a family affair where you get the kids and the parents out there and attendance. So, you're right. The schedule there, you can find everybody there from early morning to when the sun comes down as well.
Yeah. Indeed. Did you want to add something?
I was going to say, our irrigation system, I think, is one of the things that I would feature for people that wanted to garden with us, because we do have good water supply. Essentially, every plot has its own separate access to a spigot. And we supply hoses. So that if a gardener comes, they're ready to go in terms of watering. And it's true that on sandy soils, you need to water sometimes, especially vegetables that take a lot of water, and especially when it gets dry like it did late summer. You know, the plants are large at that time of year, which means they're using a lot of water, and that was the wrong time to have drought conditions. But it didn't really affect us very much because gardeners were watering. And it's also interesting to watch out in the garden. You know, kids really like to water.
Yeah. Water themselves, too.
Exactly. Yeah. And everything.
Everything else, right.
But Doug is a big proponent of drip irrigation. So he's really teaching us and the rest of the gardeners, you know, how to ration that water and make sure it's not being wasted. So we've learned a lot of good techniques from Doug, how to conserve water better as well in the gardens as well, too. So it's a little bit of a process, but once you get it in place, it works very well.
Rosella, maybe you could tell us a little bit about, you know, who's eligible and the, kind of the time frame when we can start planting and everything.
Well, anybody that's in the River Valley area or River Valley area schools is eligible to get a plot at the gardens. We have been known to let other people come in. if you're dealing with food scarcity and you want a plot, and we have plots available, we usually let people go ahead and garden. So registration's open right now. So if anybody wants to get a plot, I think Kelly told us last night we had 3 new gardeners in the last 3 days. So people are starting to think about gardening. So get your registration in. We have an info box, a red info box, right on Westmore Street, and that has printed forms in it already. So all you have to do is grab a form and fill it out and then mail it in. And so we can get you registered pretty quickly. So we have 10 by 10 plots, we have 10 by 20 plots, and we have 20 by 20 plots. So whatever you're interested in doing, a lot of the newer gardeners go with the 10 by 10s because they don't know what they're doing. They don't want to bite off too much, you know, work. So what we like to see is then gardeners go from the 10 by 10s to a 10 by 20 within the next 2-3 years, because then that's producing more food for them. So registration's open, and we'll get you a plot assigned. So yep. So registration will stay open until either all the plots are gone or the middle of June, because the middle of June is about when you don't want to plant anymore. Although we did have a couple gardeners come in July last year, and they planted tomatoes, and they had a pretty good crop. So yeah, so a lot of people can garden year-round if they wanted to. But
yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
And you've been able to do some upgrades at the facility too, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. We've got a brand new shed.
Right.
The new equipment shed. We worked 3 years raising money for that shed, and we got it up last year, and we're pretty proud of it. And we want to thank all of you folks out there that stopped at our brat fries or at Prem's or just donated or stopped at the caramel apple sale at the school fair. We couldn't have built that without the little $5 and $10 buying of the brats. So yeah, it was wonderful, and we ended up getting several grants to help us along. Compeer was one that gave us a grant for I think it was $2,500, and that finished off our fundraising. So we were just really blessed. The Lions Club did a spaghetti dinner for us back in 2022, I think. So that was the kickoff, and we got $6,000 from them that year. So yeah, it's been a community project. So we're celebrating our 10th year this year.
Wow!
So at our site. So one of the things that we decided last night was we're going to have an open house in August, and people are going to be invited to come and potluck with us if they want a potluck, or just tour the gardens and come see the new shed.
Awesome.
So yeah, it'll be a fun time to celebrate our 10th anniversary.
You gonna whip up some sort of vegetable dish or something, are you, to celebrate? Or
we could.
You'll have all the vegetables, maybe a ground squirrel or something, yeah. Ground squirrel stew.
Add a little meat.
A little meat in there, too.
We could throw them on the grill, right?
Yeah. We'll be back with more in a moment as we talk about River Valley Area Community Gardens on The Morning Show.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Get ready for a day of fun and competition at the Leighton Brown Memorial Scholarship Cornhole Tournament. Saturday, March 22nd at the Wisconsin Riverside Resort. Registration opens at 10 a.m. The bags start flying at 11. Entry is just $20 per team, so grab your partner and bring your bags. You don't have a partner? No problem. Just let them know, they'll help pair you up. Pre-registration is recommended. Call or text Nicole at 412-5788 or Bill at 588-5156 to secure your spot. This exciting event supports the Leighton Brown Memorial Scholarship, awarded to River Valley High School graduates pursuing vocational or technical college education. Join them for a great cause, great competition, and a great time. We'll see you Saturday, March 22nd at Wisconsin Riverside Resort.
If you need reliable and affordable automotive services, stop by Whitman's Repair Hub in Muscadet. From mechanic work to trailer repairs and welding services, they've got you covered. Whether it's routine maintenance or a big repair, their team is ready to help. Call 608-574-9252 or send a message on Facebook at Whitman's Repair Hub to schedule your service today. We're talking about the River Valley area community gardens today. Rosellen Schneider, Doug Rouse, and Marlon Tafts in the studio with us. Their 10th season. That's pretty amazing stuff. Let's talk a little bit about what gardeners you're looking for. You're looking for all ages, right? Even some younger gardens, Rosellen?
Correct. Yes. We've got a program called the Busy Bees Garden Club, and that is for kids ages 3 to grade 4. And they meet in the summer on Tuesdays for about an hour, and we have a curriculum, and they get to plant their own 2x4 raised bed, and so they can put whatever they want in there. We provide the plants for them, so a lot of them are planting tomatoes and zucchini and cucumbers and onions, and we encourage them to plant flowers also because that's for the pollinators, and we talk that's included in the curriculum where we talk about pollinators. So we look at, we teach them about soil, and we teach them about parts of a plant, and we teach them about flowers, and we teach them obviously how to plant. So yeah, they get a wide range. So registration for that will be starting to be out towards the end of March. So if anybody is interested in getting your young ones involved in that, in our Busy Bees program, you can look for that. So we'll be advertising that. And then we've got a junior gardeners program, which is for grades 5 through 12. And those kids get a 10x10 plot free to plant whatever they want to plant in. And we provide mentors if we need if their parents aren't gardeners. So last year we were really lucky. The last 2 years, I guess, the parents were gardeners, so we didn't have to do the mentoring. But it's really neat. We actually had this past year two students enter things into the River Valley School Fair from the gardens. So that was pretty exciting. I've been pushing that for quite a while, and finally we had two that went ahead and did that. So so that's really neat. If you don't start them young,
right,
you know, you lose some time there and some space. And so a lot of it is getting them started young so they understand what gardening and producing their own food is like. And they get pretty excited when they pull out, they get to dig potatoes. And last year somebody pulled out a radish that must have had about a foot long root on it, and they're holding it up, you know, so proud of that radish, you know. So they're pretty excited. It's really neat to see those young ones get excited about gardening. And we have a lot of people that return. So, yeah, our goal is to move them from the Busy Bees into the Junior Gardener program, and then eventually, hopefully, into the regular adult gardening program. So
when someone signs up, they get a lot. I mean, you guys offer them a lot of stuff in return, don't you?
Yeah, I think our garden does a really good job of providing for our gardeners. So we mentioned the irrigation previously. So water is abundant, no problem with water, and including the hoses and so forth that are needed, as well as some education about alternative methods for using the water, that is the drip irrigation system, for example. But then in addition, we provide fertilizer, so organically approved fertilizers, and we provide the composted manure, which is a fertilizer source as well as being a source of organic matter. We also have tools at hand, so hand tools, hoes and rakes and so forth. And then we have a rototiller that is free to use as part of the garden. And then we also provide straw mulch. And again, we encourage especially the use of both the compost and the mulch. And so really, it's a pretty complete package. Well, in fact, then I should mention, we also typically provide some seeds. Dory Hardware in Spring Green has provided seeds that were left over from the year before. At the end of the season, they donate those to us, and then those are available to gardeners for free. So seeds, and I'll mention that quite often our gardeners will start plants indoors ahead of time for transplanting. And, you know, if you started a bunch of tomatoes, it might turn out that when you planted, you had a couple of transplants left over. So you can typically put those out and another gardener can get some free transplants. So that's the community aspect of that sharing. So it's a really, I think, nice system that provides really everything that a gardener needs to garden successfully.
You really can get a lot, even in a 10 by 10 plot. I'm guessing if you space it right, you can get quite a bit of food in there.
Yeah, yep, you can. Actually, I'd say it's fairly impressive. Now, there are some things, you know, we don't recommend planting sweet corn in a 10 by 10 plot because it takes up a lot of space and would shade everything else out. But you can get a number of tomato plants in, and certainly the smaller vegetables, you know, your onions or your lettuce, you know, spinach and so forth. You know, you can produce a lot.
Now, I used to hear that Good Friday was when you're supposed to plant your potatoes. That might be about right this year. Right?
Yeah, this year it could be just about right. In fact, it came up last night in our board meeting that I'd like to plant potatoes. Typically, the commercial production here, they'll push into the first part of April if the weather's right for potatoes. And so this year I'm thinking the weekend of the 12th of April might be a very good start. So we'll see how the weather goes. But you can put potatoes in the ground as long as you can work the soil.
Hmm. You don't have to worry about ground temperature then so much?
No, not so much. Just so that the ground is you know, not frozen anymore and is dried out enough you can work it, of course. But that's true for a number of crops. So, for example, you can plant carrots as soon as you can work the soil. And there are other crops like that. What else comes to mind? Parsnips would be an example. I grew parsnips 1 year successfully.
Not a fan, huh?
Well, it's a very long season crop. I planted early and I didn't harvest until November.
Oh, okay. So, right.
It just seemed like, my gosh, you know, it was back in April when I did this.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time to have in the ground. But, you know, there are other crops that you can put in early as well. Your spinach, for example, some of your greens. Your sugar snap peas or peas more generally, they can go in April. So we get gardeners that are pushing it early, and for those crops, you can do okay. On the other hand, you don't want to plant tomatoes so early, and especially from my perspective, peppers. Peppers like the roots like a warm soil. So I always say, you know, you're okay into June to put your pepper transplants in, but we have gardeners that put them in earlier. We, of course, have to worry about a late frost, and we've had late frosts the last few years that have nipped some of these crops that are susceptible, so like tomatoes and peppers especially. So I've learned to not be in as much of a hurry as I used to be.
It's nice to get excited, though, and yes, you know, look forward to the season, that's for sure.
One of the questions that people might have is, what do we charge
right
for the plots? You know, Doug just listed everything that we provide. So for a 20 by 20 plot, the seasonal fee is $60. So you can plant whatever in that 20 by 20 and you just pay us $60 and you've got that plot for the season. A 10 by 20 is 40 and a 10 by 10 is 20. So we feel like we're pretty reasonable, and that money then goes to provide the fertilizer and pay for the water and pay for the straw and all of that stuff. So Yeah, it's when you start looking at other community gardens for what we provide, it's pretty reasonable fees.
Yeah, and if you went out and bought the straw yourself and, you know, the tools and all that stuff, you'd be spending a little bit more money than that.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yep.
You couldn't do it without the community, Marlon. You get a lot of support, don't you?
Well, we do, and one aspect of the community gardens is, along with maintaining their own plots, is we encourage people to volunteer for different tasks we have, especially in the community food pantry plot. So if it's maybe 2 hours a month, if they could spare to help with some of the planting and harvesting, weeding in particular, is one of the biggest things there, but collection of that there. So we've got just a lot of different things that need to be helped upon that we ask people to contribute a little bit of time during the month if they can. And sometimes they get their kids involved in it as well, too. But it's especially fun on harvesting for the pantry day because we've got a lot of people there to help gather up the produce and deliver to the food pantry. So,
do you have specific plots for the food pantry, or is it just the excess for that, you know, people don't use?
Well, we do have some specific plots, but then some that people don't use. Doug, I don't know for how many years it's been, has a hoop house for tomatoes. And I can't remember, Doug, how long or how big that is, but we get an incredible amount of tomatoes out of that thing. I think last year it was over 850 pounds of tomatoes that we took out of the hoop house.
Hmm. Yeah, it's just what we might call a high tunnel. It's something we put up each spring and then take down. So just a plastic hoop house. And yeah, we put about 45 tomato plants in there. And we can give them a little bit of an earlier start because they're undercover. And we go a little later in the fall as well, if we're lucky. So that's worked out quite well. And then we have actually, it approaches over a quarter, maybe almost a third of an acre of plots that are dedicated to the food pantry. And then it depends a bit on whether there are empty plots that we didn't rent as well. But it's a fair amount of space, actually. And, you know, we produce quite a few potatoes. I was very excited last year. I think I've mentioned on the show over the years that, you know, there are some crops I really think I do very well at growing, like onions. I'm very proud of my onions. And then there are crops that have just been a struggle, like carrots. I don't know why I have such a problem growing carrots. But last summer, we grew carrots for the food pantry that were really pretty darn good, if I do say so myself. So I was very happy with that. And of course, carrots are a really nice produce to take to the food pantry. Everybody, I think, you know, likes to have carrots for stews and soups, if nothing else. So that was good. We also had a good year for sweet potatoes for the food pantry this last year. I don't remember the numbers, but it had to be in the order of maybe, you know, 400 pounds of sweet potatoes we donated to the food pantry. So that's not bad. Actually, the carrots, I think, amounted to maybe 150 pounds or so. So that wasn't too bad either. I'll say this year, I'm hoping we expand a bit, actually. And so help is always appreciated. But I think we have the potential to expand a fair amount. We also produce a lot of summer squash because that's easy. Actually, last year, for whatever reason, we did quite a few peppers. So just bell peppers for the food pantry. So that was nice. And then we do some broccoli and cauliflower and so forth. We struggle a bit with, we try to do spring-grown broccoli, cauliflower from transplants. And, of course, those are cool season crops. And so planting those and then getting them to harvest before it gets too hot can be an issue because they don't really like the heat. And so I think that's why we've struggled a bit. But we do produce them. And then we also try to do a fall planting so that we have broccoli and cauliflower in the fall. And that crop typically has come out actually quite well for us. Of course, we have to deal with the insects, you know, the cabbage loopers. And because we're trying to be organic in terms of our practices, we can't promise that there wouldn't be a cabbage looper lurking inside a broccoli or a cauliflower once in a while, but you know, it just adds protein.
It's a good way to look at it. Well, I think it's a great thing that you guys do to provide to nursing homes and assisted living facilities as well. You know, the excess. I'm sure that the residents love that stuff.
Absolutely. And just to give you a perspective on what we did last year as far as supply. Last year, we donated 1,346 pounds to the Spring Green Food Pantry, wow. 215 pounds to the Meadows Assisted Living, and 334 pounds to the on-site free kiosk as well, too. So again, just to reiterate what we want to make sure is we're not wasting anything and really feel a sense of community being able to deliver to those facilities.
That's kind of why you do it, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Not only for our own fulfillment in our own gardens, but for the community at large.
Yeah, and those figures don't include produce that gardeners themselves might have excess of in their plots. So, for example, the classic is zucchinis. If you grow zucchinis, it's not unusual to have more than you can actually consume yourself. And so individual gardeners will put zucchinis or whatever extra produce they have out in the kiosk as well, which is kind of nice because otherwise, you know, people might be throwing that produce away, which would be a shame. Mm-hmm. So,
one thing I'd like to emphasize, we've talked a lot about the gardening aspect of it. I want to emphasize the community aspect of it because some of my best friends I've gotten to know through the garden, and we have quite a community that's developed with the people that are there. And it's just really neat to have those people to interact with and to see not only at the garden but downtown. You know, most of those people that are out there are originally over the 10 years, I didn't know them. And so over the last 10 years, I've got to know quite a lot of people. And we have some really neat people. And it is a sense of community that develops with everybody.
It's a good way to meet your neighbors, then.
Yes, it's a very good way to meet your neighbors.
And the other thing, as we were talking too, what a great thing for grandparents to maybe take their grandkids out there and, you know, help them learn.
Yeah, and the garden's wide open. There's no fence, so we have people that do their daily walk through there, you know, to check to see what's going on. And people will stop and they'll just take a walk through and visitors to the community will stop. And we had one day we had people come over from the Round Barn that were from Kentucky, and they wanted to see what was going on at the gardens. You know, what was this? And so, yeah, it's just amazing to the people that you meet, and you get to touch their lives and they touch yours.
Mm-hmm. And we have a shelter out there as well too, so people take advantage of the shelter that we have, where we have picnic tables and some chairs and around that. So if you want to bring out some food or something like that, people just like to take a break out there, bring a portable chair out there just to sit and take in the view. The trees are starting to get bigger and bigger there as well, too. So it makes for a nice environment, a very calming and relaxing experience.
It's a great way to watch, great place to watch the sunset, too.
Oh, sure.
It's wide open there. So, yeah, it's just beautiful. And some of us have even gone out there to watch for meteor showers and things. So, yeah, it's a beautiful spot.
Yeah, not a lot of light pollution when you get over there, too.
Not too much, although we understand there's some buildings that are going to go up on the north side of us. So that may change in the next few months. But, yeah, right now it's just really nice.
Great. And the land belongs to the village? Or
yes.
How does that work, Doug?
Yeah, so the land is the village's, and they've you know, provided it for us to use. They don't charge us for the land. They, I think, really like the garden there. I'll say one of the things that we were just talking about is the scenery there. I would say that garden is the most park-like community garden that I know of. I mean, we've got flower beds, we've got land to, you know, put a blanket down and have a picnic at, we've got the picnic tables. It's very nice. Uh-huh. It's not just a bunch of vegetable plots crammed together. So That's very nice. It just makes a nice community situation for us.
That's what it's all about. Anything else anybody would like to add this morning? People can start signing up as right now.
Right now. You can text us at 608-588-6040. You can stop at the gardens and go to the red info box and pull out a form there. Or they're also on our website at rvacg.org. And you can message me message us through Facebook. We have a Facebook page. I put a lot of planting hints and recipes on that Facebook page. So it's quite a variety of stuff for information for gardeners. So there's several ways to get a hold of us. And we'd love to have you come out and garden with us.
Well, good luck this season. Good luck with your potatoes there in April, too. We hope it goes well. Absolutely. And we love having you guys here because you guys are like spring. You know, it's a sure sign of spring when you guys come in to visit us.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks to River Valley Area Community Gardens members Rose Ellen, Doug, and Marlon. And this part of the morning show, they're celebrating their 10th season in Spring Green.
This is the story of the one. He's responsible for keeping a leading healthcare facility clean and safe. And he trusts Grainger's high-quality HVAC cleaning and safety products, combined with their world-class supply chain, to consistently deliver, ensuring he's covered inside and out, so he can focus on keeping his facility clean to help protect the health of everyone inside. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Does your employer offer 6 weeks of paid time off in your first year? Rockwell Automation does. How about a $2,500 sign-on bonus? A 401k with company match? Annual bonuses for all employees? Rockwell offers all that and more, including paid parental leave, tuition reimbursement, unlimited referral bonuses, and endless growth opportunities. This isn't your typical manufacturing job. It's a great place to work because of the great people who work there. Join the team. First shift starts over $20 an hour. Second shift over $22 an hour. Apply at rockwellautomation.com/careers. Search Richland Center or stop by any Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for an on-the-spot interview. Rockwell Automation, where talent meets opportunity.
Looking for a job that's as unique as the House on the Rock? The attraction opens March 13th, and they need great people to help make unforgettable memories. Whether you're looking for full-time, part-time, or seasonal work, they have opportunities for students, retirees, and everyone in between. Enjoy daytime hours and a fun, exciting workplace. Call 608-935-3639, extension 1201, or visit houseontherock.com for details. Join the team and be part of something extraordinary.
Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but not everyone has a full bowl to start their morning. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm. Right now, our local food pantry needs your help. Donate a box of cereal today and we'll match it, doubling the impact for families in need. Any brand, any kind, every box makes a difference. Drop off your donation at Julie Karen State Farm. Together, we can fill every bowl and fuel every morning. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In Wisconsin's Supreme Court election, your family's safety is on the line. Just ask retired Wisconsin police officer Mike Walter.
As a police officer trying to put away violent criminals, you deal with two kinds of prosecutors. Guys like Brad Schimmel, who gave big plea deals to rapists, domestic abusers, and even a man caught with child pornography. And someone like Susan Crawford, who made sure rapists, murderers, and abusers were behind bars so victims could get justice.
That's Susan Crawford, the former prosecutor who took violent criminals off our streets and the judge who kept them in jail. Take it from a cop.
When I walk in a courtroom, I want Judge Susan Crawford, and now we need her on the Supreme Court.
The truth is, extreme Brad Schimmel won't keep Wisconsin families safe. We need Susan Crawford, the common sense judge. Paid for by Susan Crawford for Wisconsin. Crawford for WI.com.
Dick Hauser and Steve Moore are here as we talk about Project Seed, which it is that time of year again. Doesn't seem possible, Dick. Seems like we were just talking about this, but it's been a year.
Yes, time goes by fast. In fact, I kind of caught myself a little bit. It crept up on me, and I said, oh, I guess I better get on the ball here and make sure people know about Project Seed coming up this coming Saturday.
Well, we've had better weather this week, and I think maybe people are starting to think about planting, aren't they?
I would certainly think that it's got to be in the back of their mind anyway.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been involved with Project Seed?
Oh, boy. It's been well over 20 years. I can't tell you for sure, but I remember when it first started. It was back in the 80s when we had a problem when the milk price was really deflated. And the first couple of years, you had to bring a milk check along to show that you were having a problem getting the right kind of money for your milk. And then I think I came along and said, now, wait a minute. The people that are in the beef industry have just as much problem as the milk industry. And so that's kind of where I opened my mouth and got involved.
I guess the rest is history then. So,
correct.
So you got involved with it. Is it through your church, too, that you got involved with it?
Yeah. The program is through the Rural Life Committee of the Diocese of La Crosse. And everyone is welcome to come. It makes no difference whether you're Catholic or not. You're certainly, everyone is welcome because we're offering farmers an opportunity to buy good quality seed at a reduced price.
St. Mary parking lot again this year, is it?
Yes, it will be at St. Mary's parking lot on Saturday the 15th, and it'll be from 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock.
You've had years where I think you were brushing snow off the bags of seed, weren't you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
This year, it sounds like it's going to be all right, though.
I think so.
So, Steve Moore is in the studio with us. Steve, you generally join us long distance. So welcome. Good to have you here.
Yeah, it's a great day for a drive to come to Richland Center. So can't get enough of this town.
Wonderful. How long have you been involved with Project Seed, Steve?
It's been at least 15 years. We first just started supplying the seed corn because they wanted just conventional corn and not Roundup Ready GMO, so our company, our parent company, so to speak, my company, just was doing a lot of organic, which is conventional seed, and we do the conventional treated as well, so kind of a natural fit, and we're growing our own seed. I've got growers all over, so we can grow what we need, and some of the hybrids for Project Seed are specific to Project Seeds. You know, some of the areas that we sell in there, farmers use. So some of the hybrids and Project Seeds are not in our Foundation Direct seed lineup or Foundation Organic, and vice versa. There's some things there that Project Seeds doesn't get.
How was the growing season last year, Steve?
We got, I'd say, lucky. I mean, there's a lot of rain in that, but my growers are scattered. We got Ontario, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, 5 in Wisconsin, 1 in Iowa, and 1 in Minnesota. So by being spread out, it's more trucking, it's this and that, but it spreads our risk out. So if one group, one location has bad weather, bugs, or whatever, we got the other ones, you know, even if I had, and plus our farm up at, our farm's by Onalaska. So even if I had thousands of acres up there, I wouldn't grow it all in one spot because mm-hmm. It's risky.
And you talked to me on the phone as you were making your way here today, but some big changes this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
The biggest one, it kind of started last year, you know, with the prices nosediving. And we were doing an outdoor show, Project Seeds, up at the Farm Science Technology Days last summer. And, you know, you're sitting there, we get the tents, but people don't stop that much. So I made a sign up on a sandwich board, and I just wrote it on there for a second. I said, do the math. $380 a bag, multi-stack, refuge in a bag, all these big fancy corns, and $3.80 grain, 100 bushels out of that bag goes to pay for that bag of seed corn. And you haven't even turned the key in the tractor yet, let alone or buy fertilizer or the weed sprays. So that actually got some people's attention, and they're, you know, and some of them did We had some people that switched out by South Dakota. We had some younger guys. Same thing. Their banker pointed that out to them. How many acres it takes, how many bushels per acre just to pay for the seed. So they switched from the $300-and-some big name hybrid to, you know, ours is, it was 40% of what the others was. And then in the university trials, I pointed out to the young man that what they were using, big name hybrid, they were in the university trials up here in Galesville, and we had a yield advantage. You know, just straight corn doesn't have yield drag. You put all these traits in it, things get shuffled around, and usually it just takes more oomph to make these other things work. So we have had some people switching. It's a little more complicated on the sprays, but most farmers are smart enough to figure that out and can make that work. Instead of just spraying straight Roundup, you know, you don't have to think about it. Just, and that's what all the big spray companies, co-ops, and other outfits tend to just, they spray a lot of that stuff. It's easier for them. You don't have to clean the sprayer out the tank. You just dump more in there and go, go, go.
Mm-hmm. Do you pay for the name sometimes with seed?
Oh, yeah. And I used to work for a major national seed company, 11 years. And I remember sitting in the office. I'd got transferred to the office and was doing marketing stuff. I remember working on the margins and pricing and seeing, you know, the overhead column. And it dawned on me that I was just overhead. I wasn't out calling or delivering seed, actually being productive for the company like I used to be. I was an office guy. So it was overhead. And, you know, part of the name, they got to have, we were owned by a major international company by then. They'd bought us out, but they got to pay for that. And they demand their profit margins. You know, they got to get a certain margin. And it was a chemical company that owned us. And they're used to high margins in chemicals. So they saw what was going on in seed. And you guys aren't charging enough for this stuff. So, yeah, there is always a part to that. And in the old days, customers would believe that more than now. Now they tend to look at yield trials, university plots, and they see the small companies, not just ours, but a lot of them can beat the big name companies.
Are there some new hybrids for 25?
Too many.
Really?
I was just sitting here, got here early and down at the restaurant, and I'm working on production plans, and there's a bunch of new ones, and it'd be like looking at shiny new toys, you know, in the window. Which one do we want? Uh-huh. But yeah, there's on conventionals, the number of products that are available to us and other companies is actually going up, where for years it kept going down, down, down. If you want this cross here that's doing so well, you got to get the traits and pay the fees. So now, yeah, it's there's some good combinations out there.
So you'll be here in Richland Center on Saturday, and are you available if people have questions about what they should be planting?
Oh, yeah, that's my son and I own it, and our phone numbers are on there. So when you call, it goes direct to us. We are a low-overhead company. We do not have district managers, regional managers, and agronomists and plant breeders running around to support. We drive the trucks. I drive the tractor, the detasslers, and that's kind of our office, too, inside, outside, or in the trucks. So we do a lot of our own deliveries, which cuts out just a lot of ways to cut overhead.
And the seed types that you'll have on Saturday in terms of other crops?
We've got some 98-day, 105-day Roundup Ready ones, mm-hmm. and then a whole spectrum of just straight conventional hybrids. Nothing really on the truck for the organic guys. We have that at the warehouse, but to keep it kind of slim down and simple so we can deliver at these sites, you know, you can't bring the whole warehouse there. And we try and bring extras. It's always nice. Most of the guys will pre-order. It's a better price when you do that. That way we know how to load the truck and not overload it and start guessing what we may need this, may need that. I know in our other book, between the two, we get 90 products. So trying to get all these growing for next year and guess what you're going to need and what you don't need, it's gets to be a bit of a juggling act. But mm-hmm. So far, we found that if you grow extra about everything, you tend not to run out. It's maybe not the best inventory management, but it sure cuts the stress level down.
I bet when you drive by some of these fields where you know it was seed that came from you, you have some proud moments in the fall, don't you?
Yes, unless they're unless they happen to be organic. I know organic. We didn't order a lot of road signs because that's a challenge, doing things organically, trying to keep the weeds out. Mm-hmm. And if you see a weedy field, you don't really want my name on there.
Dick, as you look at Project Seed this week, some notes that you wanted to pass along to the audience today?
Well, just the fact that when we first started out, we did not have anything but conventional seed. And because so many people have gone to using the Roundup Ready, we now have that available in the program. So I want to make sure that people don't revert back to thinking years back when we did not have the Roundup Ready. The other thing that we do quite a bit of here is in alfalfa and grass seeds. Corn is a big thing, of course, but in our hill country, I love to see our fields with grass, alfalfa, and that sort of thing on, because conservation-wise, it's better. So